The following broadcast is brought to you by Sons of God International and Freedom Fellowship Church. Hello, and welcome to the prophetic voice of our time, where we focus on the voice of prophecy, which is the testimony of Jesus Christ. Our host, Christina Sasso, is a senior pastor at Freedom Fellowship Church. Let's hear what she has to say to the body of Christ.
Hello, thank you for tuning in. My name is Joshua Sasso, and you are listening to the prophetic voice of our time. The topic we're going to be discussing today is we're going to be talking a little bit about the spirit of Saul. And specifically, we have to ask ourselves whether we ourselves act with the same kind of behaviors that Saul himself exhibited. Because Saul, when he was first installed as king, he was humble and willing to obey the Lord. But later on in his life, he decided that his own ways of doing things, his own understanding, was more important or better than God's instructions. Because he is given instructions from God through Samuel. And Saul openly disobeys those instructions. He partially obeys, but he did not obey God completely. And when Samuel comes up to approach Saul, Saul kind of plays this part saying, "God bless you, Samuel. Greetings to you. I have obeyed the Lord's instructions." But God had instructed Saul to completely destroy the Amalekites, including the cattle and all this stuff. And yet, Saul spared the best of the cattle, and Saul spared the king of the Amalekites. And here he is coming before Samuel saying, "I have obeyed the Lord's instructions." And Samuel questions him. He's like, "What is this sound of cattle that I hear? The Lord instructed you to completely destroy everything. And yet here you are. You've taken some of the cattle, right?" And what does Saul do? Well, he blames his men. He's like, "Oh, well, you know, my soldiers from the army took them from the Amalekites. And, you know, we're offering it to the Lord." Samuel again, "Why did you spare the king?" And Saul gets into this place where, rather than taking responsibility, because he's the king, he's the leader, rather than taking responsibility for disobeying the Lord, he is looking for other people to blame. And Samuel has to press Saul again and again and again. Meanwhile, the whole time, Saul is insisting he obeyed God. Okay? He's putting on this appearance of righteousness. Meanwhile, he has openly disobeyed the Lord. And instead, he's more concerned about his own position and his own reputation. The scripture tells us in 1 Samuel chapter 15, starting with verse 10, it says, "The word of the Lord came to Samuel, saying, 'I regret that I have made Saul king, because he has turned away from me and has not carried out my instructions.' Samuel was angry, and he cried out to the Lord all that night. Early in the morning, Samuel got up and went to meet Saul, but he was told, 'Saul has gone to Carmel. There he has set up a monument in his own honor and has turned and gone down to Gilgal.'" This shows the heart of Saul. God sent him on a mission with instructions. Saul disobeyed those instructions. He did not carry out the instructions as the Lord gave it to him. He decided, "Oh, well, you know, it'd be better to keep these cattle. Oh, you know what? It'd be better to spare this king." And yet, while he's disobeying the Lord, what is he doing after he's done this? He's building a monument in his own honor. So he is more concerned about honoring himself and making sure that others see him as great and others see him as so wonderful and amazing than he is concerned with honoring God. And this is not a good place to be in. In verse 13, it says, "When Samuel reached him, Saul said, 'The Lord bless you. I have carried out the Lord's instructions.'" And I guarantee you, Saul, he felt so spiritual and so religious in doing this. "Look at how righteous I am," right? He was able to put on this show. "Oh, God bless you, Samuel. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I've carried out the Lord's instructions. There was a great victory today for Israel." And this is the kind of spirit that God wants to address, which is that there are many in the church, including among our leaders, that operate with the spirit of Saul, which is that we'll put on a show. We'll say all the right things. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, bless you. Yes, the Lord is so great. The Lord is so good. Meanwhile, they have not actually been obeying the Lord. And the truth of the matter is that in this day, God has told us repeatedly that he's going to show himself as holy. And those people, especially those in positions of leadership, that put on an appearance of righteousness without actually obeying God, God is going to have to replace them. And this is what happens with Saul. Samuel says to Saul that God has torn the kingdom away from you, and he is going to give it to somebody who is better than you. But after this is said to Saul, what's he doing? Oh, please pray for me, Samuel, right? Please intercede on my behalf now that he's been caught. Please pray for me. And understand, Saul was then relying on Samuel to clean up his own mess, to fix the problem. Oh, please bail me out, Samuel. I said sorry. I repented. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to disobey God, but please pray for me. Please bail me out of this situation. And the truth is, Samuel had to clean up the mess left behind by Saul. Saul was supposed to put the king to death. Samuel had to finish that work. And Saul created this whole huge mess because now God's going to replace him as king. This kind of behavior is not going to fly in this season. We have to honestly look at ourselves, okay? We have to honestly look at ourselves and decide whether we're actually obeying the Lord or whether we're following a path that we've carved out by our own hand. Because in the case of Saul, so two things that concerned him. Saul reveals to Samuel and says, oh, well, I was afraid of my men. I was afraid of what they would think or what they would do or what they would say. But Saul knew the Lord's instructions. This means that Saul was more concerned about the opinions of men than obeying God. And there's a lot of us Christians where we are more concerned about what people are going to say, what people are going to think, what the cultural expectation of those around us is, rather than obeying God. Why are we more afraid of other people than we are afraid of disobeying God? And you see, Saul still had an air of religiosity and spirituality, right? They took all these animals, all the good animals, and they offered sacrifices to the Lord, right? And I guarantee you, they were playing music in this modern day, right? They dim the lights. They'd have all the music going, all the atmosphere. Oh, we're giving this great and wonderful offering to the Lord, right? And in the modern day, maybe people would be really impressed. Wow, look at how much financial contribution Saul gave to the Lord as a show of how much he wants to honor God. But no amount of fake spirituality covers up the fact that Saul disobeyed God. And this is something that we have to learn, which is we can sing hallelujah all we want. We can give large offerings and large financial sums all we want. We can do long fasts that go for weeks and weeks and weeks, okay? But if you are disobeying God, that does not cover up the fact, and it doesn't make up for the fact that you disobeyed God. And it doesn't matter how much you sacrificed or how much you tried to cover it up. And this is what has happened in this day, right? Many people, when they sin against the Lord, even amongst our leaders, will try to minimize it, or will try to, you know, reframe it in a way that makes us look better, or that we're justified, okay? When it'd be far better for us to just admit, no, I disobeyed God. I stepped out of obedience to the Lord, and I thought that I could do my own thing. It is far better to admit that, rather than to try and cover it up. Because something the Lord has spoken to us at Freedom Fellowship Church is said that he's going to show himself as holy in this day. And that those things that you were able to get away with in the past, specifically, especially for the spiritual leaders, those things that you could get away with in the past that you were able to hide in secret, you're not going to be able to get away with it anymore. You're not going to be able to hide it. Because God is going to show himself as holy. Because here we are praying and believing for a move of God here in the United States of America. How many of you guys are really earnestly believing and praying for a revival to be here in the United States of America. But how can we expect God to judge the wicked and to uproot wickedness in this nation if we ourselves continue sinning? If we ourselves think that, oh, if I just say the right spiritual words and I present myself in a way that seems righteous, that it'll cover up the fact that I am disobeying God. This is why Samuel says to Saul, he says, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying God? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination. In other translations, it says witchcraft. And arrogance is like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. And this is what we have to understand, is that when God instructs us to do something, even if it doesn't make sense, and we decide to make our own plan outside of God, that is in fact like the sin of idolatry, because we are so arrogant in saying, I know better than you, God. I know how to do this better than you know how to do it. And I'm going to prove you wrong. You are now putting yourself in opposition to God. And let me tell you, you're going to be the one who's proven wrong. When Jesus walked here on the earth, one of the things that he warned us came in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. And he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. So who are those that will enter the kingdom of heaven? Those that do God's will, right? It's not some test of, oh, how much you can pray, how much you can fast, how well you can sing in praise and worship, how much you... No, if you're doing the will of God, those are the ones. On that day, Jesus said, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. So these were not just people who attended, you know, Sunday school or went to a service here and there. Here they were claiming, look, we cast out demons in your name. We laid hands on the sick. We did all these mighty works in your name, Jesus. And he's going to respond to them, I never knew you. This means that these are teachers, evangelists, prophets, apostles, you know, self-appointed, that they're carrying around this title. And they're casting out demons and laying hands on the sick. And yet, Jesus is going to say to them, I never knew you. Brothers and sisters, if there's any scripture that should put the holy fear of God in you, it should be this scripture. Because it shows that God truly looks at the heart. These people that approached Jesus claiming, why aren't you letting us in? We did all these things on your behalf. They were able to fool men. They had an appearance of righteousness, but they were not actually doing the will of the Father God. And that is the difference. Remember, in Jesus' time, who were his biggest opposition? It was the spiritual leaders at the time, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the teachers of the law. And they came before Jesus and they claimed, well, we're children of God because we're descendants of Abraham. And what Jesus said to them was, if you were children of God, you would be fulfilling the will of the Father God. But instead, you're not. You're fulfilling the will of Satan. And so because of that, you're children of the devil. Because you fulfill the works and do the works that your father does, the devil. And so we ourselves, if we're claiming to be children of God, we have to look at ourselves and ask ourselves, am I actually doing the will of the Father God? Or am I doing something, some will that's of my own design and of my own making? Because this is the thing that's so easy to do, is we'll carve out a plan. We'll make a whole life plan. Okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that.
And then we'll start walking this life plan and we'll say, God, bless this life plan. I've decided to do this. Bless it. I want to be blessed. I want my vats to be overflowing. I want to have all kinds of abundance and prosperity and walk in perfect health. So here's my plan. God bless it. It's going to be perfect. It's going to be wonderful. Never once actually going before the Lord and asking him, God, what should I do? What is the life plan that you have laid out for me, God? Right? Instead, it's, I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to do what I want. And God, you're obligated to bless me because I'm one of your children, God. I'm one of your children. And all your promises are yes and amen. So I chose to do this thing. So you got to say yes and amen, God, because I'm your child. No, that's not what Jesus said. He said to the Pharisees, you're doing the works of your father, the devil. If you were a child of God, you would be doing the works of the Father God. So we have to be honest with ourselves. We have to actually look at our lives and see, am I actually being led by God in my life? Or am I trying to lead God? Because in the case of Saul, we have to, you know, kind of transpose this over to modern terms. Okay? Why would Saul want to keep all of the cattle and all of the sheep of the Amalekites? Well, it was a huge financial incentive to keep them. Back in those days, wealthy people, they would have had thousands and thousands of cattle. So in our modern times, what God was telling Saul to do was, all of these riches of the Amalekites, all this money, all these financial resources, they're all going to be destroyed, and you're going to destroy them. You're not going to keep any of it. And Saul was thinking, oh, but you know, that's a lot of money, God. Oh, there's a lot of land there. There's a lot. I could do a lot of things. You know, God, if you just give it to me, if you just let me take it, I'll tithe. I'll give a good tithe. I'll give 10. I'll give 20%, God. I'll give 20% if you just let me take it. And so Saul decided, you know what? No, it's better for me to take all of these cattle and then we'll just give an offering to God to make up for it. Right? He decided that he knew better than God. And so we have to keep a guard over our own hearts. We have to be honest with ourselves, whether we are obeying God or whether we're trying to lead God somewhere else. This is why Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, and I'm reading this in the English Standard Version. It says, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock, right? So hearing and saying amen and hallelujah is not enough. You have to walk it. You have to do those things that God instructs you to do. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. Verse 26, and everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell down with a great crash. Now, both of these men, you can imagine, they probably spent about the same amount of time and money and resources building that house, right? I mean, think in this modern day, think of how much it costs to build a house in this day. And those construction projects, they could take several years. So imagine each of these men spending a couple years of their life, hundreds of thousands of dollars building this house. And you know, it doesn't matter how much time and effort and energy was put into that house. If it was built on the wrong foundation, it will crumble. And we do this so many times in our lives where we try to build houses on things that are not rooted and grounded in God. Think, for example, when you start a romantic relationship that was not founded on the rock. And some people, man, they'll be stuck in these relationships for 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, not built on the rock, right? And many of us in those kind of situations will think, if I just put some more effort into it, if I spend more time doing it. But you have to understand, if the house has a bad foundation, you cannot retroactively go underneath it and add a proper foundation in there. Many times, that whole thing is structurally unsound. You have to tear the entire house down and build it up again now with a proper foundation. And sometimes God comes to us in our lives. Maybe it's in your relationships. Maybe it's in your finances. Maybe it's in your business. Okay? It doesn't matter what area of your life it is. The truth is, if we're honest with ourselves, there's areas in our life where we've been building on the sand. And we've been continually frustrated. Oh, there's structural issues here. Oh, there's cracks showing up here. And we keep trying to patch it up here and there and try and just force it, right? If I work hard enough, if I fast and pray long enough, then God's going to bless it and fix it. But from the very beginning, you have not been building it according to God's will. And a lot of Christians, when they see that, they're afraid. I don't want all the years I've invested in this to be for nothing. The thought of tearing down that house is terrifying for many people. But on the other side of this is that every additional minute, every additional dollar that you spend investing in that thing, you're investing in something that is going to crumble. Why choose to waste your time anymore? God wanted you to avoid doing it in the first place, right? God never intended that we'd be building all these houses on the sand. He intended that we would build it on the rock in the first place. So really, all of us need to go before the Lord. We need to be honest and we need to ask him. Right? We can go one by one with every aspect of our life and we can ask him, God, is this the path that you want me to go down concerning this thing? Concerning this thing, right? And you can just go one by one. God, am I being trustworthy and obedient to you in this area? And God's going to reveal to us that there are parts in our life where we have been building a house on the wrong foundation. And when that happens, I want to encourage you, don't despair. Don't be upset. Instead, rejoice. Because now you know this thing you've been investing so much time in, so much effort into, now you're going to know, you know what? Nope, I'm going to start from zero. We're going to start from zero. We're going to build it right this time. I'm not going to waste another minute of your time, God, and I'm not going to waste another minute of my own time. Right? Don't get stuck into that sunken cost fallacy. Oh, but I've already put so much time and effort into this. No. Choose today to obey the Lord. Choose today to be honest with yourself and realize God knows better than I do. And the cool thing is that we serve a God who is so trustworthy. Where if you decide, God, I'm going to surrender this part of my life to you. I've been trying to do it on my own for too long. I've been trying to make this work and force my will on this. I'm going to surrender it to you, Lord. We serve a God who is so loving and who is so faithful. He will make a way when there is no way. He will provide the protection and the provision you need to move forward. Just choose to trust in the Lord. And remember that we don't know better than God. We really don't. But this move of God that we've been talking about here on the Prophetic Voice of Our Time, that God is bringing here to America, it requires the body of Christ to walk in righteousness first. How can we expect the world to turn to God if we ourselves are not turning to God? It's got to start with us, right? And I know that even amongst those of you that are listening today, there are many of you that God is preparing for greater works. So every day you wake up and decide, you know what, today I'm going to hear from God and I'm going to obey him. Because think about somebody like Jesus. Jesus, everywhere he went, he was led by the Spirit. That's the standard that was set for us. We should be able to walk every day being led by the Spirit of God. So I encourage you, let's make that a goal. We're going to allow God to direct our path. And yes, we still got our responsibilities. Yes, we still got our jobs. We're going to be faithful in those too. But we're going to make room for God to be the one to chart the course in our lives. Amen. So I'm about out of time for this week, but I want to thank you so much for tuning in and also remind you that the Prophetic Voice of Our Time is now on YouTube, and we are uploading videos there where we're trying to condense down many of the teachings that God has given us over the years, and also allow it to be a place where the prophetic words and the prophecies that God has given us, we're just going to upload them so that they are released out for the public to watch and view. So again, the Prophetic Voice of Our Time is on YouTube. Again, this broadcast, you can also listen to it on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and all of that other great stuff as well.
Again, my name is Joshua Sasso, and I want to thank you so much for tuning in. You've been listening to the prophetic voice of our time.
Thanks for tuning in. You've been listening to the prophetic voice of our time. We really hope you were blessed by today's episode. And if you were, we want to hear from you. You can call us at 210-695-1630, or you can email us at sogmi@outlook.com. That's sogmi@outlook.com. And we really encourage you to visit our website, sogmi.org. That is sogmi.org. That's where you can listen to previous episodes of this podcast and even support this broadcast. We're supported by listeners just like you. So if you want to support this ministry, you can go to sogmi.org and hit the donate button. You can also send a check to P.O. Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023. Again, that is P.O. Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023.